Father God, I just thank you for this precious people. I thank you, Father God, for the hard work that was put into this. And Father God, only you know the depth of the love I have for these people. And Father, I'm asking that you touch them right now and you do a special and complete works within them. Father God, let them break through. Let them break through this barrier that Satan has placed before them. And let them understand that you're there with them. And that you will never leave them nor forsake them. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the body of Christ is, I'm hearing God say this, the body of Christ is going through a lot of strife right now. And the enemy is trying to separate and divide. And only each one of us individually can stop that. Yeah, nobody else can stop that but you. You have to say, devil, you're not going to do what you're trying to do. And we're going to go forth no matter what you you say to yourself, I'm going to go forth, devil, no matter what you throw my way. My Father's already made that path straight before my feet. And I'm going to go. Did you see something down there? Is it a mouse? Oh, okay. The way she looked, I thought she saw a mouse. Let somebody give you a microphone.
Two nights ago, I saw on the news that there was a college and two girls had said they wanted to kill themselves, and a Christian girl said, look, let's go out on the field and we're going to pray. And so that encouraged them. Then the next week, more people wanted to pray. This was on a college campus. And now the last scene was the bleachers, the whole field was filled with college students praising the Lord and just having a good time.
Just takes one of you girls to be determined, I'm going to let Jesus shine through me. And you can bring a whole campus to Christ. I'm telling you, it works that way. And this is where God's at right now. Thank you, Naomi, for sharing that. Someone here this morning had to hear that. This morning, I'm going to read something that somebody else wrote. It's Jane Hammond, but everything in here is exactly what God's been saying, and it's something that we need to understand. So September the 15th, 2023, marked the new year 5784 on the Hebraic calendar, which is always a good time to stop and listen to God's voice for the new season. So we can stir our faith and refine our focus. So what are we supposed to be doing? Listen, take time to stop and listen to God's voice. You're too busy doing nothing. It's busy work. And you need to take time all day. Pick out some time. Or you can do like I do. I just, before I get out of bed, I said, Father God, my ears are wide open to hear your voice. And as I work today, I'm listening, and you can speak to me. And he'll just speak to you. He doesn't care what, you've already given him permission. You can interrupt whatever I'm doing and let him talk to you, all right? If you're not near a computer, make sure you have pen and paper in hand, because you might want to write down what he says. Okay, why are we supposed to do that? So we can stir our faith and refine our focus. In the Hebraic decade of the 80s, we understand that the word for 80 is pi, P-E-H, which means mouth, sound, or speech. In other words, our voice. We need to use our voice to speak things forward. And, in this, we're going to see where she decrees something. God tells us to start decreeing things. And when this person told me to pray, please pray, I started quietly praying to myself. But I was decreeing this person to be able to breathe, and decreeing that the devil was finished in their life. And, he started breathing better. And then he took his little treatment, and then he could really breathe. But I really give God the glory for that. I really do. All right, so start decreeing things. Start speaking things over your life. You know, start telling your, you know, decreeing what God has spoken he's going to do for you and what you're going to do for him. And let's not allow the enemy to get in there and say what he's going to do. All right, in other words, our voice, the ending year, our voice, period. The ending year four is represented by the Hebrew letter D-A-L-E-T, which means door, gate, or opening. This is a year where God has set an open door before us that no man can close. And that's in Revelations 3:7. Do you understand that? God, each one of you people in here this morning, God has already opened a door for you to step through, and nobody can close it except you. The devil can't close it. Other people can't close it. God opened that door because God called us to be the Philadelphia church. And in there, he says, I open a door that no man can close. I wanted to close the doors of this church twice, and God said, I have opened a door that no man can close. But if you choose to close the door, I'll allow you to do that. There's no way I'd do that, go against God. So do you understand that? You have an open door from God that you can step through, and you can do everything that God's called you for to do. God just said a lot of you are discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I know why God's having me pastor this church, because I've gone through the things you guys are going through, and I can tell you God will bring you through. He's always victorious in your life if you allow him to be. I didn't say you wouldn't go through trials and tribulations. God is always with you in those trials. If you really have a close walk with God, he will tell you before it ever happens what you're going to be walking through. And then he will also say to you, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then as you're walking through this terrible thing you're going to walk through, he talks to you each step. He guides your footsteps as you go. And you won't ever fall. You don't have to fall. You choose to fall. You have to start using your own mind. Instead of allowing other people to speak into your life and distract you. There's too much of that going on in the world. All right, voice-activated doors. As I thought of the combination of the number for the voice and the number for the door, I recognized that this would be a year of voice-activated doors of opportunity. So you have to speak it. We live in a day of voice-activated electronics. Some homes have a feature where you can just speak and a computer responds by setting the room temperature or turning lights on and off. I need that. I need somebody to clean my house, all right? Just speak it forth. Clean my house. It gets clean. All right, in the realm of the spirit, God has put power in our mouths to activate spiritual doors of breakthrough for us. And that's Psalm 81:10. In the Passion Translation says, open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. And that's in Psalms 81:10. The words that you speak, so shall it be. You know, as a pastor, you have to do things you really don't want to do. You have to stick your nose in somebody else's business, in other words. And you don't like to do it, but you have to do it. If you don't, then God's going to hold you accountable for why that person isn't where they should be. But, you know, and I was saying, why is it, you know, everybody wants to do their own thing, you know, but they don't ever want you to come and say that thing you're doing is a wrong thing. Y'all get all bent out of shape. You ought to thank God that God sent somebody to you to tell you that you're going down the wrong path so that you can turn the other direction and not go down that path. All right? All right, Paul and Silas saw prison doors open when they opened their mouths and praised. Their voices activated the supernatural and caused that which was locked to open up. Paul and Silas saw prison doors open when they did what? Open their mouths and praised. Peter similarly saw prison doors open and the gate of the city open of its own accord. This is where God is taking the church. We are going into the supernatural realm that was going on when the disciples were on the earth. God told me, I was back there doing praise and worship. God spoke and said, once again, Acts has come full circle around. And what happened in the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit fell on the people that were in the upper room. And when the Holy Spirit fell on them, they were totally and completely immersed in the glory of God. And they went out and they won all those souls. And this is where we're at. The church has been in a mess. It was in a mess then. And God chose a select few people, told them to go to the upper room. I think there was 500 to begin with, right? But only 120 waited. See how it fell down? See what God's been doing? With this church, he says, I'm going to keep shaking it till I have everybody that I can't use shaken out of here, and then I'm going to drop the glory. And I think he's through shake. I don't know what else he could shake. All right? And so what happens when all that happens? The upper room experience takes place. The glory of God falls, and then miracles happen. This is where we're at. It's up to you. Do you want to partake of that? All right. Peter similarly saw doors open and the gate of the city open of its own accord as a result of the volume of prayers going up on his behalf. Now, I want to let you know something. God told me one day, he said, daughter, your name is known all over the world. And he said, people are praying for you all over the world. So it just isn't us praying for one another. God has placed our name on other people all over the world. And it's just not because I wasn't even a pastor then. All right. He has other people praying for you. And so if you fall, it's your fault. Because God has done his part. He sent prayer people to pray over you. All you have to do is walk in faith. That sounded simple, didn't it? But it's not. All you have to do is just walk in faith. Yeah, get out of here. It's a battle. And you know, the devil's after your faith. And he's going to try to tear you down every way he can. All right? All right, then, I think I lost my place. These prayers activated heaven to send an angel to lead him out. These gates were the original automatic doors, and you'll find that in Acts 12, 5 through 17. It was an angel that came and opened those doors. All right? After the praise went up, after the prayers went up, then God sent the angels to do the work to set them free. All right, she said, voice-activated miracles. It's also time for voice-activated miracles. Jesus activated healings and miracles by saying such things as, rise, take up your bed and walk. Woman, thou art loosed. Stretch out your hand. Be made whole. Lazarus, come forth. We need to start speaking words like this when we pray. Are you listening? You know, when we used to have the miracles all the time, I just come in here and God just flat move. But something's different this time. You know, I don't know what it is yet, but something is different. And I cry out to God, what am I doing something wrong? Why is it different? Before it was just, you just walked into the glory. And he was just there all the time. Now we're laboring to get this thing done. You know, we're fighting the principalities and the powers of darkness, but we don't quit fighting just because we haven't seen it yet. We keep fighting until we see the victory. And you know, about the time you give up is whenever the victory is right there. All right, so these were his voice, you know, Jesus' voice activated miracles. Likewise, Peter and John activated a miracle for the lame man at the gate beautiful. They proclaimed they didn't have money to give him, but what they did have, they would release. We can do the very same thing. What did they release? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's in Acts 3:6. The man immediately received strength in his ankle bones and jumped up, walking and leaping and praising God. Maybe we need to say, you know, in the name of Jesus, you just stand up and be healed. You know? I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for your sister. You know, Jesus is healing you right now. Maybe we need to get more active. We need to get more violent with our prayers. You know, and let the devil know we mean what we say. All right? I know when I first got born again, Teresa's first son, you know, he was born with a problem with his leg because the way he laid in the womb. And so they said he would always wear braces, and she brought him back from the up north, and he had a brace on his leg, and she said they said he'll wear this the rest of his life. I said, he will not. He had a cast on his leg. You know, this would mean we have to go back to that place. And I took him in the bathtub and soaked it off. What are you doing? He's not going to wear a cast. You know, they're never going to put that metal thing, you know, in his leg and in his cast and everything. I said, he's not going to wear this. He just isn't. What am I going to tell the doctor? I said, I don't care. Tell him you're crazy. Mother took it off. I don't care. But he's not wearing another cast. The child has never worn a cast in his life. I think we have to get more violent. I think we've been too passive. And I think, you know, and this is your vessel. Why do you allow the devil to take control of it? Right? Come on. You know, we have to fight. We have to fight. What did God say? He's made warriors out of us. And a warrior does what? Fight. Right? All right. Peter's voice activated a miracle. In the same way, in this year, voice activated doors, God will activate the supernatural for us as we open our mouths to decree in the name of Jesus. As we open our mouth. Come on, you can yell and you can yell at one another and fight and carry on. So why don't you do that to the devil? Yell at him instead of a person. Tell him what he's not going to do anymore. And let him know you mean what you say. In this important passage in Acts 3, we find this miracle happening at the gate Beautiful. Beautiful in this passage does not mean pretty, rather in the Greek it means fair, beautiful, blooming. It comes from the root word H-O-R-A, which means a definite space of time, a season, an hour. And this is the right time for your miracle. Do you believe that? Grace, it's the right time for our miracle. Deanna, it's the right time for your miracle. Tiana, it's time. God's really moving on you, but yet let him move stronger. God said to you that your dancing would cause miracles to happen. Then you need to say before you dance, devil, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to dance till the Holy Spirit touches the people in the audience. I feel the Holy Spirit on all that. Do you? See, we aren't doing this right. We aren't activating it. Anything. We're just being passive, too passive. And like I said, I've been really angry in the past week at what the devil's doing to people. You know, when I talk to people, they think I'm mad at them, but I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the devil that's working in them, trying to destroy them. You know, don't allow him to do that. All right, your miracle is voice activated. Your breakthrough is voice activated. This is the appointed time for you to flourish and blossom. Open your mouth and activate your miracle. Voice activated prophetic fulfillment she's talking about now. In 2 Kings 4:8, we read the story of the Shunammite woman. She built a room for the prophet Elijah in her home so he would have some place to stay when he passed through town. All right, so there you go, Naomi. You should say, God, I want somebody to build me a room in their home so when I pass through there, I don't have to pay for a motel room. Amen. Here was a prophet coming through. You're a prophetess. You know, so what's the difference? God's no respecter of persons. Because when I was sitting back there and God said, we're going to have the week's revival in December, I looked at you and I thought, I wonder if she can get off that long. And that's going to cost her a lot of money because motel rooms aren't cheap. And so here you go. Somebody has to give you a room in their house, give you your privacy, right? So she built a room for the prophet Elijah in her home so he would have some place to stay when he passed through town. As a result, he wanted to bless her. He asked his servant Gehazi to find out what she needed. She responded that she was content and didn't need anything. So Elijah asked Gehazi, "What then shall be done for her?" And Gehazi responded that the woman's husband was old, and she did not have a son to inherit their legacy. Elijah asked Gehazi to call the woman. So in 2 Kings 4:15 tells us, when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. He then prophesied to her that she would be holding her own son by the same time the next year. I don't think I'd prophesy that. It has to come to pass, right? To be clear, the Shunammite was standing in the doorway of her miracle. See that? She had a hard time believing the words, since she had lived through years of grief and the shame of her barrenness. She more or less said, "Prophet, don't mess with me." Yet she conceived and bore a son, just as her prophet had said. His prophetic word activated fulfillment of this woman's greatest dream. I would be trusting God to really bless me as I blessed his people. Why do we live the way we live when God wants us to live so much higher? Think about that. He doesn't want us groveling in the dirt. He wants us to walk upright. He wants us to be blessed and not cursed. All right, perhaps you have lived through disappointment and grief. Perhaps you may have even given up on your dream from a previous season. But know this, one word from God can change everything. Hello? One, not a dozen, one word. The Shunammite's miracle was voice activated through the word of the prophet. Let this be a reminder to each of us that not only does God desire to bring miracles of fulfillment for us personally, but also there is a world of Shunammites out there that are standing in the doorway of their own miracle. A lot of us, and I'm including myself, are standing in the doorway of our miracle. Now, how much longer are we going to allow the enemy to torment our bodies or torment our minds or, you know, torment our family? We have to open our mouth and we have to say something. Amen. All they need is from one of us to prophetically speak, releasing a word of promise, stirring up the spirit realm, and voice activating the supernatural in order to make the power of God real. All we have to do is open our mouth and speak. God has given us the power to pray, decree, and prophesy our own breakthrough. Come on. We're going to see a video tonight of Perry Stone, and they're talking some thing of deliverance, and they said the deliverance ministry does their work, but the person they're working on then has to do their work. All right, so God has opened a door for us. He really has opened a door for this us in here, guys. And I don't speak lightly of things like that. He has already opened a door for us. Now we have to walk through the door. We have to say words with our mouth to get our blessing. You can sit around and be passive all you want, and that's all you ever get is being passive. You won't ever get anything good from God. Let's open our mouths and activate the doors of the supernatural in this new season. All right, voice activate your door with me. All right, this is a prayer. You can read it up there to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you are revealing yourself as he who opens what no man can shut. 5784 is the right time, the appointed time for my miracle. I am standing in the doorway of the supernatural and receiving God's voice of promise. I let go of all past disappointment, barrenness, shame, and fear and step into divine opportunities. I activate my miracle season with my voice, and I make a choice to believe God in the face of impossibility. With God, all things are possible. I will possess my double door of hope this year in Jesus' name. Now, you believed that, didn't you? I don't want to say no more dumb stuff. God didn't open the door. He doesn't have you standing in the door of dumb stuff. All right, he has you standing in the door of miracles. All right? I mean it. the year of victory in the valley. When we look at the Hebrew calendar, particular attention is paid to the last two numbers of the year to gain insight regarding all God has ahead. As previously noted, for the decade of the 80s, the number 80 in Hebrew is the word P-E-H, which signifies the mouth, the voice, and sound. This is a year for tuning into God's voice on a new level. Did you hear me? This is one of our problems. We're still staying on the same level, and God has a brand new level. He has gone higher. All right, whenever Sister Elizabeth put that tallit over my head, and I was sitting back there, God said to me, daughter, I don't want you to come to the third heaven, the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh heaven. I want you to come to the tenth heaven. And I just, I mean, I could see the glory. I could see Jesus. It was so awesome. And there is a tenth heaven, by the way. And he's always taken me to the seventh heaven. But that day back there, he took me to the tenth. Now, if he can do that for me, he can do that for you. You know, he's no respecter of persons. You just have to love him more than you love life itself. You have to love him so that all you want to do is his will and not your own. And he'll take you as high as you want to go. But it's up to us how high we go. This is a year for tuning into God's voice on a new level, but also activating our own voice to speak, pray, decree, and prophesy by faith all we are hearing God say. All right, let's just say, you know, I know a lot of people are praying for me, but, you know, if I don't decree it myself, if I don't have faith to believe it myself, you can pray till you're blue in the face, and it's not going to heal me. Are you hearing me? But God, I'm praying for you. Yeah, you are praying for me. But I have to stay in faith. And I have to speak to this body. And I have to decree my health. Are you understanding this? I can't free your mind. You know, we can pray, we can do deliverance, but you have to tell this mind, no mind. All right, when I was first born again, I had cancer and I had a couple weeks to live. I went from there, from that doctor's office, to the prayer meeting that I had, you know, I just got born again. And my husband said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be taking a treatment. I said, nope. I got dressed. I left we were from Baltimore. I said, I'm going to the prayer meeting tonight, and I'm going to be healed. And I walked in there, and they said, hi, Barbara, how are you? And I said, I'm going to get my healing tonight. And I had just second time I was at the prayer meeting. And they said, all right, what's the problem? And I told them, and they said, lay your hands down there. And they prayed. I was healed. Every bit of pain left. I got up. You've heard the story before, but I'm telling you again, you need to hear it over and over again so it gets in your spirit. I got up the next morning, went to get out of bed. I couldn't walk. Pain was worse than it was before I was prayed for. I was on my hands and knees crawling to the bathroom. I said, devil, I was healed last night at 7 o'clock at that prayer meeting, and I'm still healed today. And by the time I got to the bathroom, I could stand up and walk, and I was healed ever since until this junk come back right now. But see, if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been healed, and I'd have been gone. You have to fight for what you get. All right? All right, the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the word T-A-L-E-T, which is also the word for door or gate. This indicates that this is a year marked by open doors of opportunity, significant supernatural access in the realm of the Spirit, as well as breakthroughs of major proportion. This will be a time of voice-activated doors, things that open because we speak and see things shift. All right. Your miracle is a voice activated. Your breakthrough is voice activated. A season of battle to a door of hope. As I sought the Lord regarding what this year would look like, he gave me two scriptures that indicated we would be walking through times of new spiritual battles. I don't know about you, but I'm walking through new spiritual battles. How about you, Grace? Yeah. How about you, Barbara? And you think, where'd this come from? But she said it indicated we would be walking through times of new spiritual battles, as well as some natural shaking that would be designed to shift the body of Christ into action, but also shift nations. 1 Corinthians 16:9 declares, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So Paul's saying right there, God's opened the doors, but there's devils there. Are you listening to this? God opened the door, and he wants you to walk through it, but you're going to have to fight to get through it. So, yes, there are incredible doors of favor and opportunity being opened to believers to advance God's kingdom cause in this new season. Yet, there will also be adversaries we must overcome. Right now, I'm trying to get over anger. I'm not trying. I'm going to get over this thing. But it's just because of so much stupidity in the world. And you think, when are people ever going to wake up? When are they going to realize what's going on around about them? You know, they're building, rebuilding the abortion clinics. You know, and God told me years ago, he said the Wade versus Roe will be overturned, and it was. But now they're out there really fighting, and they're rebuilding these abortion clinics. What is God going to do? What is God going to do? He's not happy. We still don't want God, or we wouldn't be doing these type of things. So even though we in the church, the ones that really trust God, even though we're walking through these doors of opportunities, this stuff is still going on out there that we're going to have to pray. We can't close our eyes for this. We have to pray like we never prayed before. I know the last few years have been years of contending, so many are not excited about the prospects of having to continue to engage in a fight. You know, I see some of you guys do dumb things, fighting the natural. You know, why not get excited and fight the devil? You know, I really, truly, if you get in a good fight with the devil, you'll get excited after it's over. But you'll get excited. You'll say, well, look what just happened because of God. I just destroyed that devil. Amen. Instead of letting him destroy you. You know, this church, we have it all, well, I don't have it all backwards. The church has it all backwards. We're supposed to be fighting and contending and defeating the enemy. That's why God has called us warriors. I thought the prophetic word he gave the other day was beautiful. You know, and he's been telling us he's making warriors out of us. I'm not going to go to battle with some of you right now. But a few years ago, the Lord encouraged me by saying, your opposition will become your opportunity. See that? Your opposition will become your opportunity. I also heard the Lord say that we are shifting out of a time of just battling to survive into a time of battling to possess. There is joy that arises when we fight to win. You know, you guys that are let the devil run over you, you're not even strong. You know, you don't impress me at all. But when I see you fight, boy, and I see you come up maybe scarred here or there, but you've won the victory, I get excited with you. Because I know you have determined your heart. That devil's not going to run me no more. He's run me long enough. And see, that's one reason why I'm upset, because the devil came into my house and took my house over. Now I'm trying to get it cleaned up, and it's a fight. It's a fight. I'm mad at myself, too, because I allowed it to happen. See, we need to get mad at ourselves because we allowed the enemy to come in and do this dumb junk. Because we know better. All right? So let's not put all the weight on the devil. Let's take our own share of responsibility, too. We allowed it to happen. All right, the second scripture the Lord gave me is out of Hosea 2:15. I will give her her vineyards from thence, the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor was where Achan and his family were judged for taking things that were dedicated to the Lord and bringing them into their own tent. Achor means trouble and disturbance, and it comes from the root word meaning calamity. It became known as a place of judgment. However, in Isaiah 65:10, it says, the valley of Achor became a place for herds to lie down. In other words, a resting place. Hey, guys, we're going to be able to rest. And the devil's going to be so mad at us, he won't be able to touch us. But we'll be resting while he's out there furiously beating on the door trying to get in, and he can't get in because you have locked him out. All right? You have locked him out. This year, God wants to turn our valley of trouble and calamity into a place of rest and a door of hope and expectation for our future. Are you girls really having the expectation of what's going to happen for you in your future? Are you getting excited about that? Aren't you tired of the dull, mundane things that have been going on, not taking you anywhere? Don't you want to go somewhere in your life? Think about this, guys. Why are you sitting around allowing the enemy to destroy? You know, you should be, each day it should be a brand new day, and you should live that day to its fullest in God. Amen. Not to the fullest in the devil, but in God. And if we would trust God and allow God to bring things into our lives that he wants us to have, we would be happy. But see, that's not where it's at. We want what we want, and we want it now. And we aren't looking to the future of what we want is going to take us into a mess. All right? There isn't one of us in this room that hasn't done some stupid thing that caused us a whole lot of trouble. We didn't put God in the center of it, and we did our own thing, and then we get in a mess and say, well, where is God? He's the same place you left him. He's still waiting for you to get back there. Amen? You're the one that ran ahead of him. This year, God wants to turn our valley. Where am I at anyhow? To be clear, the enemy will want to stir up trouble and create situations of calamity in the earth. This will be a contentious election season in the United States where nothing will be ordinary or status quo. We already see that. The global economy will go through a period of shaking. Even the church will be shaken as God raises the standard of righteousness in the land and fights the enemies of division and lawlessness. But the shaking will bring awakening to both the church and to nations as God arises as a mighty man of war. You know, we're beyond this, guys. We've already gone through all this. Do you understand that? We're on the next leg of the journey. We've already gone through this stuff she's talking about. And now, you know, since God has opened the door when this year started, what, September, right? He opened the door then, and we're already there. Get through the dumb door. You know, quit standing there staring around. Just get through it, and so God can start blessing you. All right, victory in the valley. I heard the Lord say to tell the body of Christ that as we cry out to him in this season, he will bring victory in the valley. We all want to live on spiritual mountaintops, places of glory, vision, and presence. However, he is calling us to the valley in this season. Uh-oh, here we go. Valleys are symbols of trials, difficulty, and yes, even battles. But it is in the valley that fruit is grown, and that is the truth. I began to study valleys in Scripture to see what is in store for us and what weapons we are to employ to see victory. And here are a few for us to pray about. Number one is victory in Rephidim. That's Exodus 17. This was the first place Israel mobilized as an army to fight as they were coming out of Egypt into the Promised Land. This battle teaches us the value of intergenerational connection as well as proper connection between leaders and those called to hold up their arms in battle. Now, Moses stood on the mountain holding his rod as a symbol of connecting to heaven. At the same time, Joshua led the army into battle in the valley swinging his sword. Moses needed Joshua's sword to fight, but Joshua needed Moses' rod to prevail. See that? Moses also needed Aaron and Ur to hold up his arms so the whole army could fight and could win the fight. In this season, it is so important for each of us to know who our Moses is, but also leaders need to know who their Aaron and Ur are. They fought the Amalekites, which were a tribe that was always trying to rob and plunder Israel. When we get connections right, we will defeat the robber and move into a season of divine recovery. I'm going to stop there. All right, Tiana, you went through your thing. You went through your deliverance. Now look where you're at today, right? God told you you would protect your sister, didn't he? She needs somebody to hold her arms up. She's going through a battle. Are you doing that, or are you blind to that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's your turn to hold her arms now while she walks through this valley that she's in right now. It's a deep valley, and she needs help. All right? She needs encouragement. You don't need to say, well, why are you being so dumb? You just need to encourage her in the Lord. Are you? Isn't that true? Isn't that how it works? You know, when I'm really down, and you guys don't know I'm down, God will send somebody my way with a word, maybe one or two words that lifts me right up. And, you know, a couple of you in here uses you to do that, you know, to really lift my arms up. But each one of you are this in the same boat. Whenever you're down, God will always have somebody praying for you. You know, I'm talking about in the group here, God will always lay you upon our hearts to pray for you and bring you through. We're not in here to see anybody die. We're not. We're here to see everybody raised up into the rightful place and to do the great, mighty things that God has for us to do, you know, for each one of you to do. All right? And you, young man, God says you need to raise up too. And you need to know, understand that God has people holding your arms up as you're going through your struggle to really find your rightful place where God wants you to be. And God does have people praying for you, and they are holding your arms up. And one day you're going to see that marvelous breakthrough. It's just going to come overnight, son. And all the questions you've laid out before me will be answered. And then I will thrust you forth into the battle of winning those men to me. All right? You know, because I don't care if you come here once or twice. I don't care what. The minute you've come here one time, God, you're now on a prayer list, and we hold your arms up. And I always know when one of you are going through a valley because God will tell me. And so, and I keep praying. He won't let me stop praying for you until you've come through that dark place that you're in. All right? So when you come in here, you truly are prayed for. Truly are prayed for. All right. And so just like Adriana tried to call me the other day, and I was just too tied up. I don't remember what happened. But anyhow, she said, you were on my mind really strong for 2 days, and I felt like I really need to find out what was going on with you. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but, you know, she just prayed, and God took care of everything. Are you understanding this? He could use, you know, Tiana, he could say to you one day, you know, not even say, just feel, I got to pray for the pastor today. You know, that's just the way God works. Just the way God works. I had to really sit down and talk with somebody this week, and I said, as long as I'm angry with you, you should be happy. It's whenever I don't care whether you make it or not that you need to start worrying. And that lifted them up out of the hole they were in. They thought I had thrown them away. I wasn't throwing them away. I was encouraging them by telling them they were doing wrong. You understand this? Aren't you that way? You know, if you really love somebody, you get angry when they do dumb things. And then if you find yourself, I don't care what they do, then you just don't say nothing to them. You let them go about their business. But that's not our job. We are a hospital, and our job is to lift each other up. And then when people walk through the doors, they'll feel all that love, and you know, and they'll know that them devils in them will know, hey, I better get out of here, because if I don't get out of here, I'm going to have to leave this person. And that does happen in here. All right? All right, let's talk about the second thing we need to do is David and Goliath, and I'll just quit here in a minute. In 1 Samuel 17, we are all familiar with the famous battle Goliath, whose name comes from the root word G-A-L-A-H, meaning captivity, and to strip bare. Well, he was a Philistine giant who challenged Israel to come fight him. He filled the atmosphere with his intimidation and threats and seemed impossible to defeat. But David, full of the Spirit of God, rose to meet the challenge. I heard the Lord say that this will be a time for his people to rise up and risk. R-I-S-K. This will look different for each of us, but be sure to answer the call and not shrink back. When David stepped into the valley, Goliath immediately began to curse him by his gods. Believers need to recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells inside of each of us, and we therefore cannot be cursed. Goliath also began to prophesy to David about his impending death. Did you know the devil will prophesy to you? All right. He will prophesy failure, destruction, death, and disaster over your life. But we've got to be like David, who prophesied right back. You came at me with your sword, but I come with the name of, you know, the name of God. David rose up in boldness and began to declare to Goliath his own demise. See, he talked to that devil and said, you're going to die and not me. And the ultimate victory God would bring to David and Israel that day. And Isaiah 30:31 declares the voice of the Lord will shatter Assyria, the enemy. Like David, this is a time for God's people to go from intimidation to determination. We must open our mouths and boldly declare the victory in our valley of impossibility. Deanna, whenever I was reading that, God said, the reason why you're being fought so hard is you heard God's voice about the seminar you're supposed to hold or whatever it's called. And now the enemy doesn't want that to come to pass. And now he's going to try to take you out. Now, are you a fighter or are you a loser? Do you really love the Father the way you used to before you went down into the valley? Or was that just all pretense? You're being tested and tried to the very core of your being right now. And when it's over, it's either going to be God or the devil. It's up to you who wins this battle. Are you understanding me, honey? Well, then act like you do. She's sitting there just staring. It's going to be all right if you fight. Tiana, can she fight the natural? Get mouthy and, you know, like, yeah, be honest. Yeah, she can, can't she? Well, then do it in the spirit realm. Tell that devil to get lost. Amen? Come on. It is time we rise up above this stupid junk in the world. We are supposed to be lights for God. We are supposed to be out there winning souls for God. And we can't do it if we're constantly being bombarded. You know, the only way you can really be bombarded by the enemy and lose is if you just are blah. You're passive. You're just sitting there. And you're not really, and you haven't really and truly got into the meat of God and really sunk your teeth into him and understand that he loves you and he's there for you. He's not against you. Where are you at today? Are you going through? The door's open. Are you going to walk through the door? If you're going to walk through the door, come up to the altar, and God is going to give you the power and the strength, the courage and the stamina to walk through that door. Because as you walk through it, the enemy is right there waiting on you. This is make it or break it time. This is where either you let the enemy see that he's lost and God's won, or vice versa.